Shalom to all. Today's office holding off coffee at Alpha. We're starting right at the top line with the words Kihadar. And today's office sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marshmim Sarbas, Yaka Moshe, Hernish, Shamash, should have an Aliyah. So we just begin discussing Kaved, liver, which is full of blood. Now, Abayit asked Rav Safra that when he's in Eretz Yisrael, he should inquire if cooked Kaved is okay. And Rav Safra was there. He indeed asked Rav Zreka, who told him, no problem. Now, when Rav Safra returned with this answer, Abayit told him, I know that liver itself is mutter because as it's cooking, it's being pilate blood, so it doesn't have the ability to absorb anything. But what about another piece of meat, for example, that's cooked with this liver? Does the blood expelled by the liver have the din of blood which osers the meat, or no? That's what I want you to ask. When it tells us Kyotr Salik, when Rav Safra went back up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkel Rav Zreka, he wants to get encounter Rav Zreka, and he asked him this question, Amar Leis. So Rav Zreka told him, this also you don't have to ask about. We visit the house of Yehuda, the son of Rav Shimon Pazi, and he gave us Kanya B'Kufya, and we ate it. Now, what does that mean, Kanya B'Kufya? So Kanya is the Kane, it's the trachea. B'Kufya means with everything attached to it. In other words, the lungs, heart, and liver were still attached to the trachea. If you remember earlier in the Masechta, we were discussing certain trachis, so we saw a bunch of pictures of these, so you can imagine what it is. And he gave that to us, and we ate it. And you clearly see from here that even when liver was cooked with other things, such as the heart and the lungs, they are permitted to be eaten, so it's perfectly fine, no problem. However, Maskel Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi asked on this, some say it was Rav Shmuel Mizrukinya, the Vidilma pi kana chutzak de rahava. Maybe the mouth of the kana of the trachea was outside of the pot. And then what would happen when the liver is being cooked, instead of the blood being expelled out of the walls of the liver into the pot, it would stay within it because it has really access. It goes from the liver through the tube that connects it to the trachea and then out through the tube of the trachea, which we had just said, it was chutzak de rahava, and then the blood spills out that way. And so perhaps that's the reason why the other meats that were cooked together with the liver are permitted. But it could be the tube of the trachea was inside the pot, or if the trachea wasn't there at all and we just had liver and other meat being cooked together, perhaps that other meat would be usher. So it's not a raya. Alternatively, we could say that case is different because michlat havachalt lemekara, it was scalded with hot water beforehand. And what does that have to do with anything? Kiyad Rav Huna chalti lebechala. That's because Rav Huna, before eating liver, he would scald it. That's what literally the word chalot means. And he would do that with chala, which is vinegar. And Rav Nachman chalti lebereischin, Rav Nachman would scald it with hot water. This effectively closes up and seals the outside of the liver, so no blood is able to escape from it, and we know that the blood that's inside the liver is permitted, and so it could be that's why it was mutter to eat the other meat that was cooked with the liver, because again, this liver could have been treated beforehand to ensure that no blood's going to come out of it. But in a different case, when this was not done, it could be that it's usser, so we don't have a raya from here. And continue to discuss that which we just mentioned, the Safra Papa Kamed Rava Lameimar, Rav Papa wants to suggest the following in front of Rava, that chala usser, that when a person did do this treatment to the liver, he scalded it in vinegar, sealing up the outside, that vinegar is usser because as it was getting sealed up, as this process was working, some of the blood did get expelled from the liver into the vinegar, so the vinegar is usser. However, Amar Lei, Rav told him that can't be because ichal usser, iunami usser. Everyone say the vinegar is usser, so that means the liver is usser as well. Ki echi depalit hadar bala. Because the same way that you're saying that before it got sealed up, some of the blood was niflat, it got expelled from it, well, by that same token, you would have to say that it also reabsorbed some of the blood that was inside the vinegar, and then that would asa the liver. So what you're saying is not correct. Now, another discussion about liver. Rav Arshva, Ikulbir of Nachman, Rav Arshva, visitor of Nachman, I saw the Kav de Shlika, they brought him a cooked liver, Veloy Achal, and he didn't eat it. Now, Amrulay, they told of Nachman, Barbe Rav de Lagav, Loy Achal. The Barbe Rav, which means the Talmudical scholar, which is inside, meaning the guest which is in your house, he didn't eat what was brought to him. And Umanu, who's this referring to? Rav Arshva. In other words, your guest, Rav Arshva, didn't eat the food that was brought to him. So Amrulay, Nachman told them, Gamu Lishva, you should force Shva, he's calling Rav Bar Shva by his father's name, meaning you should force him to eat. And that's because there's absolutely nothing wrong with his liver, and you should force him to eat it. Now, clarifying this, the Gemara tells us, Kitanoi, this is actually Machlekes Tanoim. Rebbe Lezer says, Hakavid Oseres Ve'ino Ne'eseres, when a liver is cooked, it asers, but it doesn't become aser. And why is that? As we had mentioned previously, Menesha Piletes Ve'ino Be'las. That's because as it's cooking, it's pilate, it expels the blood, and it doesn't have the ability to be Be'leia, to reabsorb that blood, and therefore there's nothing wrong with the liver itself. He says that no, it really depends. Mitu veles asura v'neseres and shluka oseres v'neseres. If the liver is either mitu veles, which means it has tavlinim, spices. In other words, it was seasoned. Not only does it aser whatever else is being cooked with, it also becomes aser. And it's the same thing with shluka if it's been cooked for a very long time. Shaluk is different than bishul. Bishul just means cooking it regularly. Shaluk means cooking it for a very long time. In both of these cases, it becomes aser also. And that's because when it has spices, it's seasoned, so that softens the liver, and therefore it does have the ability to reabsorb some of the blood that is niflat from it. And it's the same thing with shalok. The one's being cooked for a very long time. You're right. Even though in the initial stage of bishul of it being cooked, so it's too busy being poilet and therefore it cannot be bayleya. However, after that initial stage of bishul, once it moves on to the stage of shalok being cooked extensively, so now it's not being poilet so much and therefore it is able to be bayleya the blood which it had expelled and therefore it is aser. We clearly see this is a machlokes tanaim. It must be that Rav Bar Shva held like Rav Shmuel ben Yishai Rechem Breika, whereas Rav Nachman held like Rav Elazar. Another case of liver, Rav Bar Rav Huna ikel be Rav Bar Rav Nachman. Rav Bar Rav Huna visited Rav Bar Rav Nachman, and this was on Shabbos, and I see the Kamei, they brought in front of Rav Bar Huna the following three saw of bread which was smeared with oil and honey, a great delicacy. So Amarlu, he told them, Mi havi yudisu dasina, did you know that I was coming, that you brought me such wonderful food? So Amarlu, they responded to him, Mi adifaslan mina dechsiv akaras la Shabbos oineg, are you any greater to us than it, meaning Shabbos? It says about it, vikaras la Shabbos oineg, you shall call Shabbos oineg a delight. So we made this for Shabbos. You happen to be here, so we're giving you this delicious food, but don't get too excited, we didn't make it for you, we made it for Shabbos. Now adahachi, in the meantime, ashkachu kavda, he encountered that they had a liver, that it had a simpoin, which is an artery, the bliya dama, which had absorbed blood. In other words, the cooked liver itself didn't have an issue. The problem is that there was an artery that was in the liver that still had blood in it, and that's an issue, because even though the blood that's absorbed into the liver itself is not a problem, as we already know, since this artery is not really considered the liver, it's considered something separate from it, any blood inside of it is problematic. So Armaluhi asked them, why did you do it like this? Why didn't you make sure to get rid of the blood that's in this artery? So Armaluhi, they told him, so what should we do? Amalu, so he explained to them, you have to tear it down and across, lengthwise and widthwise, then that cut has to be placed facing down, then you roast it in the oven, and all the blood is going to get drawn out that way, drip down to the bottom of the oven, and then you're not going to have a problem with any blood being stuck inside. Now, further clarification, this is only with a liver. But when we're dealing with a tchal, which is spleen, that's just fat, which means just meat, even though the tchal is red, and you might think that it has blood in it, it's not actually blood, that's really just its color, that's just plain old fat or meat, and you don't have to be worried about anything. And we see something similar to this, ki yahad Shmuel, avil leit av shilat chali, b'yayimid avil milsa, Shmuel, they used to make for him a dish of spleen on the day that he did milsa, which is the Gemara's way of saying he did bloodletting that day, and a person always had to have a good solid meal after he did bloodletting, and so they would make this tchal, the spleen for him, because it was good and geschmack and fatty, and so we see it has nothing to do with blood. Get to use God's liver and bring udders into this as well. And over here we're talking about it being roasted on a spit in an oven, and what they used to do back in the day was put the spit vertically, and therefore basically everything that was on the spit was stacked on top of each other. Now knowing this, the Gemara tells us, Itmar stated, Kavda Eloi Bisra, we have the liver on top of just another piece of meat, Shari, that piece of meat that's under it is permitted. Why is that? Because Dama Mishrak Sharik, the blood that comes out of the liver during roasting is very slimy and slippery, and so it just falls right off the meat that's right under it, and the meat's not absorbing any of that blood. However, Kala Eloi Bisra, if the udder is on top of the meat and it's being roasted like that, usher, then the meat is usher. My time, why is that? Because chalav sruchei misrach, milk is very sticky, it's very viscous, and therefore when it falls out of the udder onto the meat, it's going to stick to it and eventually get absorbed, be nivla into it. Now, Rav Dim Ben Arda Masni Ibcha, Rav Dim Ben Arda teaches the exact opposite. Chala ilay bisra, when we have udder on top of meat, shari, that's permitted. My time, why is that? Because chalav shchuta drabanon, milk that comes out of a shechted animal is only usher drabanon, whereas kavda ilay bisra, when we have liver on top of the meat, usher, then it's usher, because dam doy raisa, this blood that comes out is usher doy raisa. Now, Darsh Meir Rehi Darshins, Hilchasa, what's a halacha? Ben kavda ben kala to say bisra shari, both with liver and udder. If it's underneath a piece of meat, it's permitted because the meat is on top of it. Whereas eloi bisra, if it's on top of the meat, so then di'eved in, but di'eved everything is okay. Whereas lechatchila loy, lechatchila, he should not roast it like this. And Rashi points out that when we roast on a spit, since we do it horizontally, everything's on its side, so then it doesn't make a difference which is placed where, because sometimes he lifts one side up, so everything on that side is considered above, but then sometimes he lifts the other side up and everything on that side is considered above. Therefore, this thing does not apply to the way we roast on a spit. Can you discuss this? Rav Ashi, Ikla Bei Roim Bar Abba Chamua. Rav Ashi visited Roim Bar Abba, his father-in-law, and Chazil Breit Roim Bar Abba, he saw the son of Roim Bar Abba, meaning he saw his brother-in-law, Kofi Alfon Beis on top, because Shafid Kavda Eloi Bisra, that he had a shpud, a spit, and he had placed the kaved on top of a meat, and Amar, he said, Kama Yar Haim Rabbanon, how haughty is this Rabbanon? Meaning my brother-in-law is very haughty, because Amar Damar Rabbanon di Eved, L'chatchilum Amar. Let's say the Rabbanon allowed this only if he did it b'di'eved, but l'chatchila, did they say that this is okay? No, they didn't say this is okay to do l'chatchila, and therefore you shouldn't do this l'chatchila. Continue the discussion, v'ik a beduge, if he placed a beduge there, which is basically a pan of sorts, the catches all the drippings from the meat that's being roasted. They would do this with regular meat to catch all the gravy and the juices, and that was used for dipping or for basting or something like that. It was very tasty. So if there was a beidugi over here, then bisro iloi kavdo nami aser, even if the meat is on top of the liver, it's aser. That's because everything is dripping into this pan, and so the blood from liver mixes in the pan, and that asers everything. Ask Gemara, maishlami dami debisro, why is this any different than the blood that's coming out of meat? We just said that a person will take a beidugi and place it under meat that's roasting, and that's not a problem. We're allowed to use all those juices, even though blood is coming out of that meat. But if you place this beidugi underneath liver, so the blood that comes out of the liver is a problem. But what's the difference? There's blood coming out of both the liver and the meat. The answer is, dama debisra, shachin. The blood that comes out of regular meat, it ends up sinking to the bottom of this receptacle, this beidugi, but the fat floats to the top. So afterwards, the fat is skimmed off the top, leaving the reddish bottom, which is the blood, and then everything's fine. Whereas dama de kavda, kafi, the blood of kavid of liver, that actually floats to the top, and that ends up mixing with the juices of the meat, and there's no way to separate them. That's why, specifically with the kavid, it's aser. Before we continue, let's have a little bit of introduction. The Gemara continues discussing transference of flavors. That could be mutter flavors or aser flavors, such as blood. And up until now, we've learned about heat, mostly in regards to cooking. Namely, when we have heat, flavor could be transferred. Without heat, no flavor is transferred. For example, we learned about wrapping meat with cheese, and the Gemara explained that this is no problem because there's no heat. Now, we also know that during the cooking process, as long as it's being pilot, it cannot be bileya. Now, in the following Gemara, we're going to be learning about a number of other processes by which flavor, tam, might be transferred or nivla, absorbed. One of those is salting. I actually did mention this very briefly a number of daf ago. Besides for salting, another is what's known as davar charif, a sharp food. A sharpness has the ability to draw tam towards itself. Now, along with these discussions, we're also going to learn about different levels of tam. The original thing itself is sometimes called mamish, such as meat and milk cooked together, or iser cooked with heter. That's the thing itself, the mamish. There's also flavor which is called tam rishon. That's, for example, when blood or meat is absorbed into a kli. So that's the first tam, the tam rishon. And then when it gets drawn out of the kli, that very often is called tam sheni. Now, before I start the Gemara, it is important to point out over here, just like we did on Daf Kof Ches, that this Gemara and these terms that we're going to be learning about are the core and the very basis for a vast area of halacha, and the discussion and machlokes in between rishonim and achronim abound. What's mutter, what's aser, and of course why, and how do we even properly define certain words and expressions used here, and much more. And even a brief foray into this very fascinating sugya is beyond this particular shir, so we're going to be keeping it very basic, although it is definitely worthwhile to have a listen to one of the rabbinic figures who do justice to the sugya. So that being said, the Gemara tells us, Amar Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Sakin Sheshachad Ba, a knife that was used for shechting an animal, Asar Lach Libar Reseach, a person is not allowed to cut something which is hot, and that's because the base hashchita, the area of the neck that was shechted, is considered Reseach, it's hot. Memela, the knife, absorbs blood, so it has blood in it, and therefore when it cuts something else which is hot, the blood will now go from the knife into this thing that's being cut, asering it. So don't do that. What about the following though? Tzainin, let's say he wants to use a shechita knife to cut something cold, so Amrila by Hadacha, Amrila loy by Hadacha. Some say that thing that was cut requires washing. Some say it doesn't require washing because maybe it doesn't have even any flavor or any blood on the surface, so nothing needs to be washed. On to another discussion. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuley tells us, Ka'ara shamalach babasar, a plate which was used for salting meat in it. You take a piece of very bloody meat, put it inside this plate, then dump a whole bunch of kosher salt on it, drawing out that blood. So also lechol bariseach, one is not allowed to eat hot food in that plate, even after it's been dried and wiped off. And Shmuel Tameh, Shmuel Zashitasei, Damar Shmuel, Shmuel holds, Moliach hario kariseach. Salting is like heat. As when you salted the meat inside this plate, it's like we have heat over here, which created a transference of the blood into the plate. Mimela, when he later puts hot food into the plate, the blood gets drawn out and goes into the food. Also, Shmuel holds, V'kavashari kumavoshol, pickling is like cooking, and we're not going to discuss that right now. However, Kesu Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Moliach ena kariseach, V'kavash ena kumavoshol. Salting is not like heat, and pickling is not like cooking. Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Hadu Ravin lesa. That which Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is not true. That he pincha, that have a beir of Ami, there was a pincha, which is like an earthenware plate of sorts, that was in the house of Ravami, demalch be'bisra, they used it for salting meat, v'tavre, and they broke it. Now, Mechdi, let's see, Rav Ami Talmud Rabbi Yochanan hava, Rav Ami was a Talmud Rabbi Yochanan, my Talmud Tavre, why did they break it? La mishum de shmi alay minei Rabbi Yochanan, da'ar moliach harei kereseach, isn't it because he must have heard from Rabbi Yochanan that moliach is kereseach, so salting the meat in this earthenware plate caused the blood to get absorbed into the plate, and we know that earthenware is not able to be kashered, and that's why they broke it. So it must be this memra from Ravin, Mishim Rabbi Yochanan is not correct. Continuing to discuss, Yosef Kahana Achud Rav Yehuda Kamed Rav Huna. Rav Kahana, the brother of Yehuda, was sitting in front of Rav Huna. V'Yosef Kamar, he was sitting and saying the following: Ka'ar Shemalch Babasar, a plate the meat was salted in. Asar Lechol Bariseach, one is not allowed to eat hot food in it. Again, it's because the blood is absorbed absorbed into the plate. And now when you put something hot into it, the blood is going to go into that hot food. And we would call this tam rishon. However, we have another din which is similar yet different. Utsunoin, a radish, shechatocha besakin, that was cut with a fleshig knife, mutter lechol b'kutach. That radish is allowed to be eaten with kutach, which is some sort of interesting dip they used to have in Bavel. The part of it was spoiled milk. And even though it sounds pretty gross, they used to love this dip because we find it all over the Gemara. Even though this radish was cut with a fleshig knife, it's allowed to be eaten with milchigs. And it's important to point out over here that utsunoin, a radish, is a davar charif. It's very sharp. So it means that it draws the fat from the knife into itself. Still, it's allowed to be eaten with kutach. And so we have to explain my time of why is this? What's the difference between the plate that had meat salted in it that you're not allowed to put hot food on versus the davar charif radish, which was cut with a fleshig knife that's allowed to be eaten with milchigs? So Rabbi explains, hayatirabala vahayisurabala. That's because the radish was cut with a fleshig knife, absorbed heter. The fleshig knife was kosher. It had kosher meat fat on it, so there's no problem. Whereas the plate that was used for salting meat absorbed iser. It absorbed blood, and therefore you're not allowed to eat hot food in it. Similarly, Rava said to Abaye, kibala hetera, my hava, who cares if it absorbed heter? Saif, hi hetera da asil de isuru. This is heter which is coming to iser, the isura ka'achel, because he's eating iser. If he cut his radish with a fleshig knife, so now for all intents and purposes, we're saying that there's meat inside this radish, and now he's going to be eating with milchigs, so it's meat and milk together. That's a problem. Just because both of them are mutter by themselves, that doesn't mean you're allowed to eat them together. Elamar Rava, rather Rava answers differently. Hi afshalom etame, v'hai lo afshalom etame. This is able to be tasted, this is not able to be tasted. In other words, Rava understands that these are really the same thing. It's just that with the radish, he could take a bite out of the radish first to see if it tastes like meat. If it doesn't taste like meat, so then go ahead, eat it with milk, because it must mean that it didn't absorb meat flavor. But the plate that was used for salting meat, you can't taste the food to see if it tastes like blood, and that's why that's a problem. So I'm going to probably Rava, probably has Rava, v'litamek feilar amal. Let a non-Jewish cook taste it, and he'll be able to tell you if it tastes like blood. Milay tanan, really it's milay tanyo. Don't we have a braiso? I brought this up about 15 daf ago. Think there should be shvel basar, a pot that was used for cooking fleshigs. Loy vashel v'chalav, don't cook milk in it. Vim bishel, and if he did cook milk in it, b'noy sein tam, it's usher if it imparted meat flavor into the milk dish. Also bishbal truma, if he cooked truma inside the pot, loy vashel v'chulin, don't cook chulin in it. Vim bishel, but if he did cook chulin in it, b'noy sein tam, it's usher to be eaten by a regular person if truma flavor was imparted into it. If Armina, we had asked bishlama truma ta'im l'kayin. We understand we're talking about a pot that was used for cooking truma. A kain can come along and taste it. He could tell you if it tastes like the truma thing that was cooked in it before. Al basar b'chalav man ta'im la. But in regards to basar b'chalav, who's going to be able to taste it? Va'amar lan. According to some sources, it's va'amrit lan. You told us l'tamei kvela. Let a non-Jewish cook taste it. That's achanami l'tamei kvela. Over here also, why not have a non-Jewish cook taste to see if this hot food has the flavor of blood, and then it would be beseder. As I respond to them, hachinam, you're 100% right. It's just like kiko amina deleka kvela. I'm talking about where there's no non-Jewish cooks around. Therefore, the plate that had the meat salted in it is not allowed to have hot food placed into it because there's no way of determining whether any blood went into the hot food. But in the case of the radish, which was cut by the fleshig knife, you could taste it yourself as long as it doesn't have that taste of meat. So then it is allowed to be dipped into this milchig kutach dip. Anything with a similar discussion, Itmar stated as follows: dogim sha'olu b'ka'ara. We have fish that was put on a plate. Now Rashi points out it's not just regular fish on a regular plate. It was hot fish taken right off the grill. They were being roasted and they were put directly onto a fleshig plate. So Rav Amar also lachem l'kutach. Rav says this fish is not allowed to be eaten with kutach. Shmuel says the fish is allowed to be eaten with kutach. Rav Amar also, Rav says it's not allowed to be eaten with kutach. That's because noisin tamhu. This is called nesinas tam. Another way of saying this is tam rishon. The meat flavor from this fleshig plate that is now going into the hot fish is considered regular nesinas tam. That would be tam rishon, if you will, and therefore it's basically called eating fleshig fish with milchigs. Whereas a Shmuel Amar, he says mutter is permitted. Why is that? Noisin tam bar noisin tamhu. This is just a flavor that comes from a flavor. And this phrase, noisin tam bar noisin tam, is a very classic phrase when going through all the halachic literature. It's often called not bar not, noisin tam bar noisin tam. And the basic idea over here is that when we have a flavor that's coming from a flavor, or we could also call that tam sheni, so it's not really considered meat, and therefore this fish is allowed to be eaten with kutach. Chigmar further clarifies, v'hadar rav, la mefersh itmar el mechola itmar. This mar from rav wasn't said explicitly, it was just inferred from something else. How is that? Rav visited Rav Shimon bar Chia, who's the son of his son. We know that we often find Rav Chia bar Rav in the Gemara, and that's who Rav visited, his son Chia's son, Rav Shimi. And when he was visiting his grandson, Chash Be'inav, he had a problem with his eyes were hurting him, and Avdulei Shaifa B'tzah made some sort of cream or medicine for him in a plate. This was made by crushing, grinding up a bunch of herbs and mixing it with other things, and Basar Hachi, sometime afterwards, Ramulei B'shula B'gava, they put a dish inside that very plate, and Tom lay time to Shaifa, Rav was able to taste the medicine that was made in it beforehand, and Amri commented, Yoav Tamakulei Hai, wow, this really gave flavor.
flavor. This medicine imparted its flavor so much into the plate that now that hot food was put in the plate, the flavor of the medicine went into the food and I was able to taste it. And so it seems to be that we're learning from here that this is considered regular nesinas tam. Again, we could call that tam rishon, that even though the flavor went into the plate and then it came out of the plate into the food, that still was considered a strong enough flavor. Maybe if that was a meat flavor going into fish, that fish wouldn't be allowed to be eaten with milk. This is the Gemara v'lohi, that's not so. It could be that shani hasam dinafish maratveh. That case is different with the medicine. It's extremely bitter. These herbs are very strong. That's why they will impart their flavor. But it could be that we're dealing with just a regular fleshy plate that hot fish was put on, that maybe Rav wouldn't aser that fish to be eaten with kutach. Can you discuss this? Rabbi Lazar havakayim kamei demar Shmuel. Rabbi Lazar was in front of Shmuel. Aizul kamei dagim sha'ola b'ka'ara. They brought to Shmuel fish that was put on a plate. Again, this is hot fish that was put on a fleshy plate. V'ka'achal b'kutach. And he did eat it with kutach. And then Yoivlei, he gave some to Rabbi Lazar, v'loy achal. But Rabbi Lazar didn't eat it. So Amar Lei, Shmuel told him, l'rabach yavilei v'achal v'at loy achalt. I gave this to your Rebbe, Rav, and he ate it, and you're not going to eat it? Now, also kamei to Rav, when Rabbi Lazar went to Rav, Amar Lei, he asked him, hader bein mar mishmaitzei, Master, Rebbe, were you chayzer? Did you retract your shita? Because Shmuel told me that he gave you hot fish that was put on a fleshing plate and that you ate it with kutach, but I thought you hold that it's aser. So it must mean that you were chayzer, you retracted from your shita. So Amar Lei, Rav told him, chasle lezare da'aba bar abba delisfi le midi v'loy svirli. Loosely translated, this means, far be it from the offspring of Abba bar Abba, which is Shmuel's father's name, that he would give me something that I don't hold of. In other words, Rav is telling him, this never happened at all. This Shmuel never gave this to me, and so I never ate from it, so no, I was not chayzer. And the Farshim discuss, how could it be that Shmuel told Rabbi Lazar that he did give it to Rav and Rav ate it, and Rav is saying that, no, I didn't eat it. Either which way, Rav wasn't chayzer from his shita. The more continues, Rav Hunor of Chiyah bar Ashi, Havayasvi, they were sitting, Chad b'hai gist mavro, the sur of Chad b'hai gist mavro. One was sitting on one side of the ferry crossing of Surah, meaning by the river, and the other one was sitting on the other side, and they were able to see each other. Lamar, Aisule Dagim Shaul Bakara Vachal Bakutach. One of them was brought hot fish that was put on a fleshig plate, and he ate it with kutach. Amar to the other one, Aisule Te'inim Anavim Besai Chasuda. They brought him figs and grapes in the middle of a Suda, meaning he had washed, he was in the middle of eating a Suda, and then they brought him grapes and figs, and Vachal Vulai Barech, he ate these figs and grapes, but he didn't make a bracha rishon on them, even though these are things that don't come as part of the meal. So even if they're brought in the middle of the meal, one has to make a separate bracha on them. He didn't make a separate bracha on them. So my Amar Leil Chavre, one told the other, Yasma, you're Yasim, you're an orphan, which Rashi translates as Beloy Das, you're doing this without any halachic basis. Avad Rabba Chachi, did your master do this? And what was the response? Umar Amar Leil Chavre, that second one responded to the first one, Yasma, Avad Rabba Chachi, did your master do this? Umar Amar Leil Chavre, the first one told the second one, Anakish Shmuel Svirali, I hold like Shmuel, that it's mutter to eat hot fish that was put on a fleshig plate along with kutach. Umar Amar Leil Chavre, the other one responded, Anak Reb Chiyah Svirali, I would like Reb Chiyah, the Tanur Reb Chiyah, Reb Chiyah teaches, Pas Paitar's Komine Machol, the bread potters all sorts of food, even fruit that's brought in the middle of the meal, bread potters it, and one doesn't have to make a separate bracha on that fruit, and V'yayin Paitar Komine Mashkin, wine potters all sorts of drinks, so if you made a bracha on wine, any other drink that's brought doesn't need a bracha on it. Oh, a little bit of a conclusion of the sugya now, Amar Chizki Mishum Baye, Helchus the Halacha is, Dagim Sha'ol B'Ka'ara, hot fish that was put on a fleshig plate, Mutal Eichlam B'Kutach, they're allowed to be eaten with kutach, and that's because we're saying that this is not barnat, nice and tam, bar nice and tam, and it's not a problem. That's like Shmuel. Another day, snan shechatach b'sakin shechatach b'basar, a radish, which again is a davar charif. It's a sharp food. If it was cut with a knife that was used for cutting meat, meaning it was cut with a fleshig knife, aser leichel b'kutach, that's not allowed to be eaten with this milchig dip, and that's only b'hani mili. The snain, specifically when we're talking about it's snain, a radish. Why is that? Kofid beis amar alf on top, the agav churfe bala. That's because this is very sharp. It absorbs, so it actually absorbs some of the fat which is on the knife, and now it becomes a fleshig radish. So you're not allowed to eat it with kutach. Aval kishos, when we're talking about a gourd, this is a very sweet food and it does not absorb. Therefore, gar lebe paske v'achil, he could simply just scrape it where he cut it. That's because there might be a little bit of fat which adhered on the spot of the cut, so he could just scrape that away and then eat that with kutach, no problem. And also, kilchi delifta shari, if he uses fleshig knife to cut stalks of turnip, it's permitted to eat it with kutach. That's because turnip as well is very sweet and that doesn't even need to be scraped away. However, the silka asiri, if he had used his fleshig knife to cut selek, which is beets, so they're not to be eaten with milchigs, that's because they're also considered a davar charif, a sharp food. However, v'pasach b'hu delifta shapir dami, if he was exchanging, he was going back and forth, first cutting turnip and then beet, and then turnip and then beet, so he's even allowed to eat the beets with milk, that's because the turnips are mvatal, they nullify the fattiness, the flavor which is on the knife. Now when the knife is used to cut the beets, there's no issue. We're going to stop the day and pick up the market to discuss potential meat and milk issues, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.